Good morning again. I am so glad that you're joining with us. I know it's just fun to see who all is online right now, and I just want to say welcome. If we hadn't met, my name's Jonathan, and I'm really excited that you're here today. Before we get into what I want us to talk about today, though, I want to give you an announcement. I think you know that this is Holy Week, or I hope you know that this is Holy Week. It's kind of a big week in the life of Christians all around the world. Today's Palm Sunday, where we kind of remember and celebrate that Jesus went into Jerusalem and, you know, was worshipped and all that stuff. There's a reading plan for you that's on the Hub City Facebook page. I'm going to be posting some verses every day this week that kind of go along with Holy Week. But a big part of Holy Week is Good Friday. And we usually have a Good Friday service here at the building, but we're not going to have a Good Friday service here at the building. We're going to have a Good Friday service online. And so I want to show you some details. It's going to be this Friday night on Facebook Live, 7 p.m. I'm just going to be broadcasting from my home. We're just going to take a little bit of time to pause and reflect on the fact that Jesus died in our place. We're going to remember the crucifixion. And then after that, we're going to kind of set ourselves up to celebrate the resurrection on Easter. And I know that there's this rumor going around that Easter's canceled, but the fact of the matter is that even though we can't gather together, we can't do anything to negate the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. And so we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope that you invite some people to join you online for next Sunday, because I think God has something he wants to say to them. So remember Friday, 7 o'clock. That's all good. Before I jump into what we're going to talk about, though, I want you just to pray with me for just a minute. And I'm going to say a line. And what I want you to do, even though it might be a little bit awkward, is I would like for you to pray it out loud wherever you are. Okay? Just a simple prayer. So let's pray. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Give me ears to hear.
Give me ears to hear.
Give me eyes to see.
Give me eyes to see.
Give me a heart to understand.
Give me a heart to understand.
I need to hear from you.
I need to hear from you.
Prepare my heart.
Prepare my heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I think we would all kind of agree that we live in a unique moment in history. In fact, I think we could argue that humanity has never experienced anything like what we are experiencing right now on a global scale. I mean, what we are experiencing is impacting the entire world. And I think if we're honest, many of us would say that this is kind of a frightening moment. It's an unsettling moment. It's a confusing moment. It's a depressing moment for some of us. But the reality is, this is our moment. I want you to let that sink in for just a minute. That this is our moment. This is the moment in time where God has put us. And I don't want us to miss our moment. I believe that we are where we are on purpose, for a purpose. And I want us to figure out how to leverage this moment that God has put us in. And to do that, I want us to look at a few things that Jesus said in John chapter 20. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to John chapter 20. I know that if you're watching this on your screen, it's really hard to use your Bible app to pull it up. So I hope you have a paper Bible that you can use, you know, like a real Bible. That was just a little joke from our hub group, because I'm the only one that uses a real Bible in our hub group. But open up to John chapter 20. We're going to be looking starting at verse 19. Let me kind of give you some background as you're looking that up. The story we're going to look at, or the encounter we're going to look at this morning, happens on Sunday night after Jesus' crucifixion on Friday. In other words, it happens on the first Easter Sunday, and the disciples, they had heard some rumors from some of these women that Jesus had risen from the dead, but they haven't seen Jesus yet, and that's where our story picks up. That's where our story begins. But let's start reading in verse 19. Look at what this says. It says, that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, just picture what's going on here in your head. The disciples are kind of sequestered behind some locked doors, and the reason they're behind some locked doors is because they're afraid of the Jewish leaders. I mean, their leader had just been crucified. They're worried that they could be arrested and put to death next, and so they're kind of hiding out, locked behind doors because they are afraid. But I want us to focus on the words locked About meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. Let that sink in for just a minute. Meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid. I know that our situation today is different from their situation 2,000 years ago, but we're sort of locked behind doors today, right? I mean, we're not gathering together. We're not supposed to go out and engage with others. We're on the verge of a stay-at-home order, I feel like, here in South Carolina. Many of us kind of find ourselves behind locked doors. And if we're honest, I think many of us, if not most of us, maybe even all of us, are afraid on some level. Like, we're not afraid of the Jewish leaders. We're not afraid of being arrested. But these are fearful times. And I know that they had a fear that's different than our fear. But one thing that's true about all fear is that fear is an overriding emotion. And what that means is fear consumes us. And the disciples, they're consumed with fear, and their fear caused them to lock themselves away in a room because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. And I think that some of us may be consumed with fear. But I want to remind you of something this morning, especially for those of you who call yourselves Christians. And that is this. Look at this. Our faith is more powerful than our fear. Let that sink in for a minute. That our faith is more powerful than our fear. That does not mean that our faith gets rid of our fear, but we have a faith that's more powerful than our fear. And the reason I know that's true is because of something that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at what he says. He says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." Like, some of us have a spirit of fear right now. That's not from God. God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Do you want to know what God has given you, Christian or follower of Jesus, if you're paying attention to this? God has given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. He has not given you a spirit of fear or a spirit of timidity. See, in this day and age where a lot of people are afraid, we need to be a church that's not afraid. We need to be a group of people who are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the love of Jesus, and with self-discipline and self-control. This moment, see, our moment, this moment that we're in, I think it's going to reveal a lot about who we are as Christians. And my hope is that in these fearful and chaotic times, that we live with power and love and self-discipline, and that power and love and self-discipline define us, not fear and timidity. Because this is the moment for us to show that we have a faith that's more powerful than our fear. Let's go back to the story, because what happens next tells us why we can live out of faith that's more powerful than our fear. It says suddenly, like in an instant, suddenly Jesus was standing there among them. Now, we don't know how that happened, but Jesus wasn't there, and then all of a sudden Jesus was there. And then he says something. He says, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, remember, right before this moment, the disciples had just heard rumors that Jesus had risen from the dead. They saw Jesus die. They'd heard rumors that he's back, but they were unsure. But all of a sudden, there's Jesus standing right in front of them, risen from the dead. And Jesus says, first and foremost, "Peace be with you." Think about those four words for just a minute. "Peace be with you." I think those words change everything for those of us who are Christians. These four words are essential for us to remember during these fearful times that we're living in. And let me tell you why. See, you probably know this already, but the reality is that for the past 2,000 years, Christians have not been spared from difficulties and plagues and sickness and struggle and hurt and pain. I mean, what that means is that we as Christians, we aren't exempt from difficulties and struggle. We're not exempt from pain. Like, I wish we were, but what the Bible says is that it rains on the just and the unjust. Like we are not exempt, but while we as Christians aren't exempt from suffering and sickness, Jesus gives us peace in the midst of suffering. Jesus gives us peace. He said, "Peace be with you." We have a Savior who extends peace to us in the middle of our fear. And I love what Paul says about peace, the kind of peace that's available to us in Philippians. It's actually Thessalonians. I gave the wrong address there. First Thessalonians. But it says, do not be anxious about anything. No, it is Philippians, isn't it? I'm sorry, confused. Back to that. Okay. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love this verse because Paul invites us to not be anxious. And I know many of us are anxious, and he gives us the antidote to anxiety, and that's to come before God with all of our prayers and with all of our requests and with thanksgiving. And then when we do that, we're promised a peace, but not just any peace, a peace that transcends all understanding. And this peace that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and will guard our minds in Christ Jesus. And this peace is only available to us because Jesus said, peace be with you. See, I know that none of us knows what the future holds. I mean, it seems like the future changes every 30 minutes, right? But you want to know something I do know? That our God is in control of the future. That no matter what happens, we can lean on him, we can trust in him, and he gives us peace in the midst of uncertainty. See, I think that we as followers of Jesus, we should be defined by this peace that comes from Jesus. Let's go on. Let's look back at verse 20. It says this, as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Now, they were excited when they saw Jesus show up. But I find it interesting here that what John records, the first thing Jesus did is that he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. I kind of wonder why John included this detail of what Jesus did there. But I think Jesus was intentional here. See, if you remember, the disciples saw Jesus die. They knew he was dead. There was no question about him being dead. They saw him be buried. They knew where he was buried. And I think Jesus wanted to let them know that he really was alive. Like he wanted to reassure them that they weren't hallucinating, that they weren't seeing a ghost or whatever it is, that they just hadn't gone without sleep, or maybe they ate some bad hummus, you know, the day before or whatever. But he wanted to let them know that he really was alive, that he was dead, but now he was risen from the dead. And here's why that's so important for us 2,000 years later. See, because Jesus died and rose from the dead, no matter what happens, we have hope. This is really a core belief for those of us who call ourselves Christians, that because Jesus died and rose from the dead, no matter what happens, we have hope. I want to show you something that Paul says. He says the same thing this way. He says, if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. Now, when you read what Paul says here, you realize that that's not normal. See, I think that a lot of people right now are afraid of death. I think all of us are afraid of death to some degree. And the only hope that we have to not be afraid of death is that there is some hope for us after death. And that comes from Jesus. And so Paul says that whether we live, if we live, we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. I think that is so, so important, which is why I just want to pause for just a minute and say, if you're watching this and you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to just plead with you to respond to the good news of Jesus. The good news that says that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, your sins can be forgiven, and you can have a relationship with the God who created you. That no longer do you have to be separated from God, but because of Jesus' death and resurrection, you can now have a relationship with God, and there's hope because of that. And so if you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I plead with you, I beg you, to turn in his direction. He's waiting for you. He's been chasing you your whole life, and he's waiting for you to return to him. And when you do that, you can also have hope. You can also have hope. You can call out to him. So, no matter what happens to us, we don't have to be afraid. See, because Jesus died and rose from the dead, no matter what happens, we have hope. See, our hope is not in this life. Our hope is not in our circumstances. Our hope is not in things getting back to normal. Our hope is in Jesus, who conquered death and is alive today. We're going to celebrate that next week. Let's go on. Because what Jesus says next is really the entire point of the Gospel of John. He says, again, he said, peace be with you. Like he said it again. He wanted to emphasize, peace be with you. And then he says this, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Many scholars say that this is the pinnacle or the high point in the Gospel of John. And the reason why is that prior to this, 40 different times in the Gospel of John, Jesus had said that he had been sent by the Father. He uses different variations of that phrase. But 40 times prior to this moment, he says he has been sent by the Father. And then we get to this moment, and Jesus says this, as the Father has sent me, as I have told you 40 different times before now, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Do you know what that means for those of us who call ourselves Christians? We are a sent people. Maybe you want to think about it this way. That our moment needs to be defined. Oh, you can put that one up there, Trey. That our mission, we have a mission, and our moment needs to be defined by our mission. See, that you and I, as a sent people, we have a mission. In our moment, this moment in time that we find ourselves in, it's a confusing moment, it's a scary moment, it's an insecure moment, it's an unsettling moment, but this is our moment, right? Our moment needs to be defined by our mission, and that means that we need to live as a sent people. But the question is, how do we do that? I mean, how do we do that when we're not supposed to leave our homes, or we're supposed to socially distance ourselves, now we're supposed to even wear masks? In the grocery store, which if you ever wanted to be a criminal, I mean, this is like the perfect time because everybody looks like a criminal, right? I mean, everybody's wearing masks. I mean, how do we live sent in this uncertain and crazy time where we're not even supposed to be in contact with one another? There are a lot of different ways that you can do that. I want to just suggest a few, and these may be hard for you to read. I'm going to post them on the Facebook page here in just a minute. But these are just a few ideas. These are not an exhaustive list of ideas. There are other things out there. In fact, one that's not on this list is something that Jennifer Curry and her family have done. They got an Easter Bunny suit, and the Easter Bunny's going around making appearances at different people's houses, just showing and sharing the love of Jesus as the Easter Bunny. It's kind of cool. Very creative way to do that. But here are just a few ideas. Ask a local nursing home or a senior assisted place what their needs are. You can donate food to local food banks. In fact, I'm going to be posting some needs on our Hub City Church Facebook page that I hear about from the community. I posted a few on Friday. That's something you could do. You could ask local homeless shelters how you can serve them during this time. You can look for ways to serve hospital staff. In fact, I want to let you know that we as a church, you don't know this until right now, but we have been invited to serve one of the COVID-19 floors at the hospital by providing lunch for their entire staff one day a week. And so what we're going to do, they have 20 staff. We're going to provide lunch for them, box lunches, one day a week throughout this crisis. We're going to do it on Tuesdays. It's just this cool opportunity we have to let them know that we're praying for them and that we care for them. And we're in this with them, even though we are not literally with them. You can provide a meal for someone who's lost a job. You can, this isn't on there, you can go shopping for someone who's lost a job. You can be a person of peace through your social media presence. Don't be a person of unpeace or, you know, distraction. Be a person of peace through social media. You can prayer walk through your neighborhood or subdivision. It's a great thing to do. You can host an online gaming tournament for those crazy people who do that sort of thing, not me. You can sidewalk message in your neighborhood. Kind of with hopeful messages. We've kind of seen that. Liz and I, we've walked through the neighborhoods, little kids, you know, writing things like, we're in this together, God loves you. It's just a cool opportunity for us to do that. But the question is, how are you going to live sent in this chaotic and crazy time? This is our moment, and this is the moment for us to live out this mission that God has given us. And I think it's a unique moment that we'll never have again. And I want us to figure out how to leverage this moment to be obedient to what Jesus says, where he says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. You know, I'm a big fan of church history, And I love reading through church history. And one of the things that I've learned as I've read through 2,000 years of church history is that Christians have always run towards the crisis and not away from the crisis. They've always sought to show and to share the love of Jesus in the midst of the crisis. And what I believe is that as followers of Jesus, we need to be ones who don't run from, but who run towards. Now, that doesn't mean we're stupid. That doesn't mean we're unwise. I mean, we need to take proper precautions. We need to follow the guidelines that have been given to us by our government. We need to, just be smart. But at the same time, we need to be known as a group of people who run to the hurting, who run toward the needy, who go out of our way to help those that need help. See, we need to be known as a group of people who think of others over and above ourselves. In fact, there was a time in the 4th century where Christians did just that. There's a church historian by the name of Eusebius, and he writes about these 4th century Christians who were experiencing a pandemic that was way more serious than what we're experiencing, even though I know what we're experiencing is pretty serious. But he was describing the Christians and all the deeds that they did during their during that pandemic. And at the end of his description of everything they did, he writes this statement. I love it. He's talking about the Christians, and he says, "The Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians." Let that sink in for just a minute. That the Christians' deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. Can I just tell you that this is my hope for us? This is my desire, that we wouldn't lock ourselves away in fear, but we would choose to be creative and figure out how to show and share the love of Jesus in ways that are practical, in ways that are meaningful, and in ways that are safe, so that it is said of us at the end of this that those Christians, their deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. See, this is our time, and this is our moment. And as the Father sent Jesus, so he is also sending you and me. So the question is, what are we going to do in response to what we've heard this morning? I want to give you two suggestions, two things that I want you to do. The first one comes from something out of the book of Isaiah. There's this incredible scene in Isaiah chapter 6 where Isaiah has this vision of God. He actually sees God in all of his glory. And at the end of that, it says this in verse 8. It says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And Isaiah responds and says this, 'Here I am,'" or "here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." The first thing I want you to do in light of what we've talked about today is to have this prayer right here, to make this prayer your prayer. That you would wake up every day this week and throughout this crisis, and maybe for the rest of your life, and that one of the first things that you would say is, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, I'm available, send me." That you would make that your prayer. In fact, will you just say that with me right now? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Make that your prayer. That's the first thing I want to encourage you to do. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is I want you to pick one thing from the list that I mentioned. Like I said, I'm going to post it on this Facebook page here in just a little bit, or something else that you come up with, and pick some way to live sent this week. Pick some way to serve somebody else. Pick some way to reach out. Pick some way to show and share the love of Jesus this week. I want us, or I want what was said about the Christians in the 4th century by Eusebius to be said of us. That those Christians, man, and those Christians, that the deeds, their deeds were on everyone's lips, and they glorified the God of the Christians. Pray, "Here am I, send me." Pick something to do this week to live sent. Why don't you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for for giving us a mission as your followers. And I just confess that oftentimes I'm so distracted by fear or by worry or just by all the news that's going on that I can forget that you have called me to a mission. You've called me to live sent. And as the Father sent you, so you are sending me. You're sending us. Forgive us for those times where we don't live sent. Forgive us for wasting our moment. But my prayer for those of us who are part of the Hope City Church family is that we would make the most of this moment and that we would live on mission for you, that you would give us opportunities and open doors this week to show and share the love of Jesus, that you would use us to bring hope to our neighbors, that you would use us to be a voice of hope, and that you would use us to show love. Lord, I want to pray on our behalf the prayer that Isaiah said, or the response that Isaiah had to you when you asked him, "Who will go for me?" He said, "Here am I, send me." I pray that on the behalf of the Hub City Church family. Here we are. Send us. Show us how to live on mission for you in the middle of this crisis, for your glory, for your name, and for your renown. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.